Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. This is October 29th, 2024, and I do have a special announcement today. I want you to know that one of our advisors on 1-2 Listen, Erin, many of you may know her, I believe she also has a radio show, she is going to do a special Halloween radio show that's going to be this Thursday, the 31st, at 5 p.m. And it really is special in terms of it's not, I don't think, what I call the usual Halloween fair. What she is doing is a special meditation focusing on ancestors. And I've never gone through it with her, so we'll all kind of figure this out together, but I know she's done it many times. It's something that she really enjoys doing, and just leading people into, that's it, connecting with ancestors, finding out maybe something about yourself or something that somebody else would have wanted you to know. So I don't want to say too much because, like I said, I haven't gone through it myself, but it is a special that she is doing, 5 p.m. on Thursday, which is Halloween. And of course, it's free because you're listening to it on 1-2 Radio. And I mention that because this is something that she sells on 1-2listen.com as an email-based service. So if you listen to it on Thursday, you'll be able to get it for free and go through that meditation with her in the process. So just want to encourage you, wanted you to know that that's out there. As far as I know, other people may be doing some Halloween things on their shows, but we're not doing, some of the things that we've done in the past, which is, whole day of shows. That's not going to happen, but we are going to have that special on Thursday. So tune in if that's something that appeals to you. I think it's going to be very interesting. And like I said, not the usual Halloween ghost story kind of thing. At least, I guess that depends on your ancestors, though, right? In fact, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, is this scary or is this comforting? What kind of thing is this? I'm sure for some people, they go, I'm not sure I want to know about my ancestors. And other people would go, yeah, I'm in. So anyway, enough of that. On today's show, what we're going to look at, of course, is the cosmic dance for the week ahead. Now, this is going to include that new moon in Scorpio on Friday, Mercury changing signs this week, that's going to happen on Saturday, and Mars is going to change signs as well. Mars is going to enter Leo on Sunday. Now, there is a lot to talk about this week, and I love the synchronicity because as we talk about these things, you're going to see all the interesting kind of pieces, fitting together in different ways and in different puzzles. So Mars doesn't actually change signs until very late on Sunday the 3rd. So if we don't get to all of that, and I don't think we will, we'll touch upon it, but we're going to save some of that Mars and Leo talk for next week's show, even though we're certainly going to get into it today, some of the more interesting aspects. But I just want to let you know, if you, I don't want you to feel slighted if we get to the end and you go, hey, we didn't get very much about Mars and Leo. So always put in a plug for Mark's Power Peak too, because even though, we talk a lot of stuff on this particular show, I tend to use different things, or at least some different things, than I write about in the Power Peak. And of course, if you're new, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today. And when I refer to Mark's Power Peak, that is an online newsletter, or you could consider it a blog. It's a collection of articles that are written by psychics and astrologers and numerologists and spiritual people and people that just have something to say that is what I would consider uplifting, upbeat, and educational. And my particular column, the week ahead, focuses on astrology. So that's where you're going to get all the details for the week ahead, like where's the moon, if planets are changing signs. And you're going to get more details on an individual day basis by reading Mark's Power Peak. And you can sign up for free, get it delivered to your email every Saturday night if you go to 1-2listen.com and just click on the link that says Mark's Power Peak. Now, also, if you're new, and even if you're not, you're welcome to join me over on Facebook in our private group, the 1-2 Radio group, if you've never been there before. Just go find 1-2 Radio. And Jay, who is our producer today, thanks for being here, Jay. He will let you in. So thanks to those people who come over and, you know, just say hello. And I see people already in there. Hey, James, thanks for being here. And Pamela, thanks for being here. And I need to refresh, I know, but I'm always a little concerned about refreshing because then sometimes I lose it. But in any case, everybody, thank you so much for being here today. And there's Renee and Leslie. Yes, thank you. Hey, cute little Halloween thing. So thank you for doing that. All right, so let's get started. And where we're going to start today is with this week's theme. And this is something that you've heard me say before. And I must confess, I'm one of those people, I'm kind of like a broken record. Once I get onto something, I hardly leave it. And maybe that's because, you know, we teach what we're trying to learn. We truly do. And if we're not trying to learn something, then we don't usually teach it. It's like it really is a circle, or that kind of thing is not going to be interesting to us. But this is a theme, and here again, it doesn't start with me or end with me. But what it is what I call it is individual versus shared interests. You've heard me say this before, it comes up a lot, but it comes up a lot in life because if you think about it, here we are, all of these thinking we are separate individuals, but we're all sharing this planet. We're all sharing some kind of life, you know, some kind of story here together. But when I think of this idea of individual versus shared interest, one of the things that intrigues me is, I think when I first heard it or when I first started thinking about it, I thought, why would anybody want anything but shared interests? And what I really realize is that's not true. In fact, recently I've heard so many people, if I kind of posture this idea, put it out there, they're going, oh, it's all about individual interests. That's where you need to put your money. That's where you need to put your interest or your energy. And that, I will admit, I was kind of taken aback. But you know, there again, it depends on where we come from and why am I making the assumption that one is better than the other? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons why I think one is better than the other. But on the other hand, it just, that's an important idea for me. It's just important to realize people have different views, different ideas, and you can't assume, oh, this has got to be just a universal concept that everybody's going to fall in love with. And in fact, sometimes I think back on, I've told you, I'm one of 10 children. Well, I'll tell you what, if I wasn't ingrained with shared interests, I'm not sure how I would have gotten along with a big group like that. Now, if I was an only child, then maybe I'd be thinking kind of differently. But I mean, I think I learned from the very beginning. You know, if you don't kind of, you know, this is about all of us together. And sometimes, in fact, I remember one Christmas, we all decided, and there were only maybe 8 or 9 of us at the time, but we all decided that instead of asking for individual Christmas gifts, we were going to ask for a trampoline. We knew trampolines were expensive. And we knew that it was kind of a reach, you know, for that to happen. But we said, we don't want anything else. If you'll just get us this trampoline, we will all be happy. And we just, you know, crossed our fingers that that's what was going to happen. And sure enough, my parents got us a trampoline. Now, I remember I got a few other things too. I can't remember what. But that's an example of shared interest. We decided, hey, this is what we all want. We can all use it. Our friends will be thrilled. And I'll tell you what, I truly think it was one of the best gifts my parents ever bought us, and a good investment, because we literally put that trampoline in the yard. We set it up on Christmas Day in like at least 6 or 8 inches of snow, and we were out there every single day for decades. I mean, you know, slowly but surely we all got old enough and went away, you know, to college and into our own lives. But I'm telling you, that trampoline was used every single day. And in fact, at first we always had to set a timer because there were so many of us trying to use it. We each got our 10 minutes and then, you know, the timer would go off and we had to switch off to somebody else. So enough of that, but just the idea that it's not always as clear cut as what we think of at first glance, what that means. But it has to do with people in a sense, taking personal responsibility while at the same time throwing their lot in with other people or understanding how our actions actually influence other people. And, you know, there are other images or other, you know, ideas that, you know, symbols that you could use. This is like being, you know, like going to a concert. There's all these different instruments, all these people playing different instruments, and they may be even playing different notes, different melodies, but they're all combining for one effort, and one thing comes out of it in the concert. Another idea, and I think maybe I've mentioned this before, it's a picture I saw years and years ago, and it was of a group of people were walking, and each of them were basically carrying a backpack or something similar to it. And but as they were walking, a person behind might put their hand up and actually lift up and carry some of the weight of the person walking in front of them. And I've never forgotten that image, because it's carry your own pack. You know, don't expect somebody else to do it. But when you see a way that you can assist somebody else, we're all in this together. So we're being assisted by other people and by their presence, even when we're being responsible for ourselves. So that I want to put out there as kind of a symbol for this too. And like I say, this is a theme that I just think is so universal, but it is something that just kept coming up to me this week in what's going on. And you'll hear me, I mean, it's a broken record, you'll hear me talk about this and the various things that are going on. So as we look at what's going on, we are going to start with that new moon in Scorpio that's going to happen on Friday. It's at 9 degrees of Scorpio. Both the sun and the moon are at 9 degrees. It's going to happen early in the morning, 5:47 a.m. That's Pacific time. And on last week's show, we did talk a lot about Scorpio and the different characteristics. So I'm not going to go that deep into Scorpio today, although, you know, we're going to do more than scratch the surface. But if you did not hear that show, I'd also put in a plug for 12radio.com. You can go to the on-demand section. And when you do that, you can find approximately 6 months of archived shows for all the radio hosts who have shows on this station. So go back and find that show, and you can listen to it. You can download it, listen to it whenever you want, or just listen to it from the site. And there again, we talked a lot about Scorpio. But a brief review is Scorpio is a water sign. Water is intuitive. It's emotional. It's psychic. And in this case, Scorpio is fixed. And the fixed signs are the ones that hold the energy. So Scorpio ends up being very intense and very complex. I think of it as being a very complex sign, especially on a psychological level. It goes very, very deep. Always looking for, you know, a thread to pull. What connects to this? Where does this one go? Now, another thing I want to talk about with this new moon is, and I will admit, this is a new moon that I don't talk about very much from this perspective. I'm going to give you some material from astrologer Raven Caldera, who wrote the book Moon Phase Astrology, The Lunar Key to Your Destiny. Now, I personally love this book. Many of you know that. I talk about it. I've given classes on this book. Mine is literally, the pages are falling out. I have to be really careful when I pick it up, because, and then put the pages all back in. That is how much I have used this book. I highly recommend it, not only because I think it's a great book about the moon, but mostly, and maybe not mostly, but this is a great, I believe, book to just learn astrology. And I say that because he goes into so much depth with every single sign that even though he's talking about the moon, you learn a lot about the individual signs just by reading the book and using the book and looking up. And, you know, there again, it's a great way to learn astrology is just pay attention to where the moon is every day. The moon changes every 2.5 days. And if you kind of get into where's the moon, what's it doing, what am I feeling? But the added dimension of looking at moon phases is that a new moon is different than a full moon. And it's different than a moon that happens you know, that's a crescent, or that happens right before the full moon or right after the full moon. That is, you know, part of the depth and the wonderful part about this book. But this is, and some of this is pretty much a paraphrase, so this is not my original material, but Raven Caldera, when he's talking about the new moon in Scorpio, he's named it the raging moon. Now, he says this is one of the most difficult of the new moons, because although the new moons are associated with children and youth, or that kind of energy, the beginning of a process, not all childhoods are happy and carefree. And I would contrast this with a new moon in Leo. That is one where the people, you will find them, they're just always bouncy. They're always, you know, they're just like, I call them the Shirley Temple moons, because they're just happy and charming and always being optimistic and looking for the best side of something. And so if you were thinking about new moons and go, oh, well, new moon is always child energy. Well, some childhoods are happy and some childhoods are not. And in this case, we're going to look at those rulers, Pluto and Mars, for some of the reasons. But if you think about it, Pluto rules Scorpio, and Pluto is a planet of power. It's, and if you think about power, you need some experience, you need some maturity to be able to use it well. So for the child that's born with a Pluto-ruled moon, the issues that come up on a new moon, brand new, powerlessness, dependent on other people, you know, being dependent on other people, not able to change your world. And so think about it, even though most of this audience, you were probably not born on a new moon in Scorpio, the energy around this is that it's a very powerful time, but we're feeling powerless, and we're feeling dependent on conditions or situations or relationships or people that we can't change. We don't have the power to. And it can be very frustrating. In fact, Raven Caldera says it can be soul wounding. And some of my personal experience with people who are actually born on this kind of moon or watching this kind of energy when it comes around is that it's people that, you know, I would say they're almost very intuitive, very psychic people, very sensitive people, and people who eventually become powerful in their lives. But I think they come in as a baby. And if, you know, well, of course they come in as a baby, but they're kind of looking around at the adults who may or may not be doing the best job, and they go, you're in charge? Who put you in charge? And so what ends up happening, and sometimes you see this maybe in babies that cry a lot or scream a lot, you can kind of imagine they might be kind of looking at their surroundings or their adult and go, how did I get here and who put you in charge? But what's wonderful, I think, and I've really felt this personally working with some people with a new moon in Scorpio, is that once they kind of see that that's what's going on, this feeling of being powerless, they understand that those feelings of injustice or anger or being a victim, or maybe they were abandoned or ignored. They'll even oftentimes tell me those are things that happened in their past. Well, then they see how, by taking some personal responsibility, that they can move away from that space. They can learn tools around feeling helpless or being victims. It's about self-awareness and taking charge of behavioral change, and also handling crises, especially in relationships. So like I said, what I have noticed in people when we talk about some of these things, and I'll tell you, you know, as a person, it's like, I don't want to go there. I mean, and sometimes I don't want to go back to, you know, some maybe painful place in somebody's life, but they usually bring it up when they have a new moon in Scorpio. They'll usually bring it up. And once we start talking about that, and maybe they realize, yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like as a child, I was always either more in tune or smarter than the adults around me. And it was so frustrating that I couldn't make the rules, that I couldn't be the one in charge, that I was supposed to be obedient, or I was supposed to be under this person's domination or under this person's control. And what I have seen is people just getting an incredible feeling of freedom and liberation. once they start exploring some of these ideas. But the key here for all of us is that that's what this energy can bring. But the thing is, we need to understand that sometimes Friday or sometime around this new moon, we may feel that. We may feel overwhelmed by things that we feel like we cannot control. And we may look at leaders or we may look at other people and go, what are you thinking? You know, that may be what we're feeling. But the idea is not to just stay in that critical place, but to really learn there again, how to handle crisis, how to take care of yourself, how to change your behavior, and how to be self-aware. Because, you know, of course, the other thing is that so often we're projecting onto other people something that we're feeling. If we feel out of control, if we feel helpless, if we feel guilty, if we feel afraid, what do? Sometimes we bluster into this very bully kind of behavior. So just sitting back and looking, being self-aware is a good thing. So during this kind of a moon, this moon, it's a good time to look at parts of ourselves that maybe we've been taught to repress, to deny, to ignore, to keep it secret. You know, I think a lot of us have those kind of things. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember specifically they say, you don't air your dirty laundry. That was kind of a phrase that people would use. You don't talk about things that you're not happy about. You don't talk about things that are going on. So, you know, look at your own life. Do you have these parts that you think, for whatever reason, are there parts of you that you feel are unacceptable? Well, if there are, this is the new moon to just look at them. And you don't have to all out go for healing. You just be the observer. Because as you look at those things, are there things, you know, anywhere in your life where you felt embarrassed, where you felt shame, where you felt like you had to repress a feeling like this is how I feel and you're not supposed to talk that way or whatever. As you look, just looking fosters compassion. So listen to your feelings without judgment. And think about it in terms of you're looking at your inner child. That's what you're doing. And you know, are you harboring anything from any point in your life where you felt like you had to hide it? You felt like it had to be secret. Here again, I'm not saying you have to go out there and tell the world, but just recognize if there's any part of you that you feel like you're putting energy into holding back, then in a sense, it is sucking your energy. It's taking your energy. And so Raven Caldera even says about this, healing is not the goal. Although, as you go through the process, it's probably the result. So there again, not looking at something like, I've got to change this, but looking at it from a perspective of, I just want to look at this. I want to be able to be honest and integrity with myself. Okay, now, one of the reasons, you know, we've gone through a lot of new moons in Scorpio since I've been doing this radio show, I think in what, 2008, 2009? And I don't know that I've ever talked about that. I don't think I've ever brought that stuff up. Because there again, it just didn't seem so positive. But one of the reasons I wanted to do it on today's show is because, well, we're adults. We can hear it. But the other thing is because this particular new moon has some qualities, has some features that I think are very important that are playing out not only this week, they're going to continue to play out. And that is, if you think about Scorpio, it has a traditional ruling planet of Mars, which is associated with personal power, individual will. But Scorpio has a modern planetary ruler, and that's Pluto. And Pluto is that collective power and transformation. But this is what's going on. Mars is in Cancer right now, and Pluto is in Capricorn. And they are currently opposing each other very, very close. In fact, I don't know, today it might be 28 and 29, because you know they're both at the very, very end of their signs. Pluto is sitting at 29 Capricorn. So even though this aspect between them, this opposition, is not perfect until Sunday, it's really close this week. And it certainly is close enough to have a big influence and impact on the new moon. And remember, the new moon really sets the tone for 30 days. Well, 29 and a half, but for the new lunar cycle. So Also remember that with every aspect or connection between planets, there's going to be positives and negatives. But as you can imagine, Mars and Pluto is very, very powerful, and it's not subtle. So, there's a fine edge between going from compulsive and willful to being dominating. And this is the energy of I want to win. Here's Mars on one side, here's Pluto on the other, and they are competing with each other. They're naturally competitive anyway, ambitious, very goal-oriented, and they're strongly associated with ego. So once again, what a great time to just look and say, not judge yourself, but just say, yeah, this is important to me. You know, I'm convinced that if this doesn't go my way, then the whole world is going to fall apart, right? I mean, I'm just so sure that I'm right. This is very forceful energy. And it is energy, energy, energy. It is very, very, like, this is not something subtle. It is energy. And, do we use that energy to do something really wonderful, or do we do it to be selfish and aggressive? You know, does it come out as anger and temper, or does it come out as courage? It is an extreme kind of energy, especially with the two of them in opposition. Now, I will admit, they're better in opposition than they are as a square. Because with a square, something's got to give. Whereas with the opposition, they can work together. It just takes some finesse. It takes some willpower in itself to make the two of them work together. But also consider the signs, because Mars is in Cancer. That's about family and home and protection. You can put patriotism here. It's like whatever my tribe is at the moment. And I say that because, in fact, in the Power Peak, I wrote, a couple of lines about, I can go to a local high school game and I'm, cheering on that high school because, why? Because my nephew plays on the team, or it's close to my home. They're my team against every other team in the city. But then, on a bigger level, I may go to a Golden Knights game, the hockey team, and I'm cheering on the whole city of Las Vegas or the whole state of Nevada. This is my team. And on another level, maybe, they go to the Olympics and I'm cheering on the United States, or, maybe Canada or whoever. It's whoever we decide, in a sense, at that moment is our team. And I want you to think about that, because it's not quite so simple. Once again, this Scorpio energy is complex. So, but that Mars is in the family sign of Cancer and home. So people right now, you hear it. You hear it everywhere. People riled up about my family, my home, my budget, my whatever, right? But on the other hand, think about it. Is that a shared interest, or is that an individual interest? And that's what I'm talking about, why this is complicated. Because is it still just going back to this is an individual interest, because it's only my family, not yours, only my family, my city, my state, my whatever. So that's this fluid, and I don't want to indicate that it doesn't mean anything, but understand that it's not so clear cut that individual means only me as a person. Maybe if I'm taking my individual family and pitting it against yours, then I would say that pretty much still has to do with individual interests, right? So Mars is family. Pluto, or rather Cancer, is the family energy there. And Mars is firing it up. But Pluto, that transformer, is in Capricorn. Now, Capricorn really is a very similar energy to Cancer, but where we see it mostly is in on a bigger level, organizations, businesses, institutions. But it's a similar kind of thing of this group working together for a particular purpose. But see, in this case, once again, they're in opposition to each other. But they very much, I consider those two signs very similar. In fact, this would be old world or old school, but Cancer is more home and Capricorn is more business, work and business, home and family, versus going out in the world and doing something. But see, as we have Mars and Pluto opposing each other this week and moving into the future, and I'll tell you why that's going to be, we've got this personal will versus the collective will, what I want versus the greater good, just continually going on in the next few months and into 2024. And like I said, I really think it's a universal thing as well. So it's not going to just disappear right away, right? And another thing I wanted to bring up is whenever I think of individual interests versus shared, I always kind of what pops into my head is that phrase, better angels. Now that is a phrase that it was Lincoln used that phrase in his first inaugural address, which happened on Monday, March 4th, 1861, which is one reason it's a famous phrase. But I'm not sure that he actually coined that phrase. Somebody else, a writer or somebody else, may have actually coined the phrase, but he used it. And there again, I don't know the whole history, but I just know that he probably isn't the only one who's ever said that. But if you go back to that speech that he gave, that inaugural address, and, you know, a lot of people say he was actually talking to the Southerners at that point, because the United States, of course, was just in an uproar over the potential of civil war, which, by the way, did break out about 5 or 6 weeks later. The Confederates actually, that's when they first attacked, I think it was Fort Sumter, and that happened on April 12th. So this was just a little over a month after his inaugural address. So he very much was kind of pleading with them, begging them to really see something different. Didn't, you know, nobody in a sense wanting to go to war. So I want to read these statements. We are not, and this is part of his inaugural address. It's the way he ended it. We're not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. Now, I'm not a scholar, but when I read that paragraph, when I hear that, there are several things that really jump at me. One is like, he even is putting it in terms of almost music, the mystic chords of memory and the chorus of the Union. But, and I think, I mean, my take on this is that he's saying, hey, look, we came out of this other war, breaking away from England. We're all in this together. We can't afford now to be enemies. And we will remember that we're not enemies. And but that will be true is if we remember the better angels of our nature. So once again, that's, you know, maybe something to just keep in mind at this time. Yeah, we've been through some fights. We've been through some things. But we can pull together in harmony. We can pull together for similar goals. And interestingly enough, Mars and Pluto were conjunct, meaning they were sitting together within, I think, 2 or 3 degrees of each other in Taurus, an earth sign ruled by Venus, on March 4th, 1861. So when that happened, you know, I just think it's interesting because, of course, I had to go back and look at that. Where were Mars and Pluto when he made that statement and when this whole thing was going on in the United States? So Mars and Pluto, they weren't in opposition. They were together. They were trying to find a way to work together. So that's on the new moon. That's on the opposition between Mars and Pluto. One other thing that's going on during this new moon that I think is important to remember is that Saturn is over in Pisces. Now, Saturn's the disciplinarian, right? The organizer. And Saturn is trine, meaning that it's in a harmonizing connection with the sun and the moon during the new moon. Now, that's a big deal. And to me, this whole Saturn being in Pisces, which is basically a 2.5 year transit, it has a mantra. And the mantra is, we're better together. So when I think of, you know, Saturn, it's sitting over there trining, making that harmonizing connection with the sun and the moon. It's saying we can consciously choose to create, to live in a community of love. We can choose to be part of the orchestra. You know, we can do it within our immediate families. We can do it in our communities. We can do it in the world because it's our mindset that sets the intention, not the circumstances. So that is kind of a balance to, or another feature that is going on during this new moon, that yes, we've got this opposition. We've got to figure a way to pull to our better angels. And I think Saturn in Pisces is very much saying that. We're better when we're doing this together. The orchestra sounds a whole lot better than when everybody's just playing their own tune or in their own pace or in their own harmony. So let's find a way for all these individuals to have a valid contribution. So the takeaway for, you know, this week, this Friday particularly, yeah, there's probably going to be some power struggles. Expect it. Expect that that's probably what's going to show up. There might be family disagreements. There could be some troubles at work. But the new moon intensifies those areas where we feel dominated or controlled. And guess what? We don't like it. So be ready for maybe there are going to be feelings of not wanting to be managed or controlled by other people, because that's what we get with that Scorpio energy. So expect the resistance, but it's nothing that we can't handle. So there again, just be ready for it. Be ready to respond. And one is to get a real handle on the issue. Like, let's say, you know, somebody wants you to do something or tells you something and you realize it's just the last straw. But, you know, it didn't begin with them. That wasn't really what you were upset about. Maybe it really did, remind you of something that happened when you were a child, or that happened with a different relationship, a previous relationship. So the next thing you know, you're yelling at your mate or you're getting all crazy. And they're like, really? All I ask you is, did you eat the last strawberry? You know, I mean, we've all had those situations happen, right? So just know that Saturn has a really important role in this new moon, and it's going to help us. And it's basically going, don't sweat the small stuff. Simplify. Take responsibility for yourself. And here again, this is a wonderful time to, you know, to just have some private space, some downtime, to really think. And you know, sometimes in your dreams, especially on a new moon that's in a water sign, you'll have dreams that all of a sudden start bringing up things that you hadn't thought about forever. Well, just look at them and just go, yeah, you know, that made me feel good, or that made me not feel so good. All right. So just listen to it. Just observe it. You don't have to go back and do anything about it. All right, let's move on to Mercury. I think we've kind of talked about that a lot, although I'm not sure if we can ever talk about it enough. But okay, Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, right? Well, usually changes signs about every 21 days. So Mercury is moving into Sagittarius on Saturday around noon. But here's the interesting twist. Mercury is actually going to connect with Mars and Pluto, you know, as it's doing this switch, as it's doing this thing, as it's in, you know, Scorpio, it's actually going to be making these connections. So, you know, once again, sometimes you just feel like some of the planets are going, hey, what about me? What about me? Or, you know, something's going on with me. So that is going to connect with both of those planets. It's going to make a trine with Mars over in Cancer, and it's going to make a sextile with Pluto in Capricorn. Those are positive connections, by the way. So there again, I think Mars and Pluto are both plugging away at something they want us to remember, something they want us to take with us, to think about. And I think with Mars, once again, it has to do with the importance of family, maybe the traditions of the past. You know, what holds you together, saying, hey, don't blow everything up. You know, there's some good stuff here. But it also has to do with just looking at our sense of integrity when Pluto's there, going, hey, you know, just be this serious person, or understand it can be a controlled change. And no, you can't control everything. But, you know, use your head, use your mind, use your communication to do something about this. So, but think about it. Mercury, I can almost see him squirming. Because he's going, okay, yeah. I'm moving into Sagittarius. I'm going to hit the road. You know, this is an adventurous place for me. I'm a learner, and I want to go check out some new things. You know, so I can almost see him squirming as he's meeting with Mars and then Pluto, and just going, okay, enough already. Got your, you know, put it in a text. Send it to me later. That kind of thing. So Mercury goes into Sagittarius, and what do? Well, we seek the truth wherever we find it. You know, I want to look under this rock. I want to look here. I want to take this class. We challenge existing ideas and traditions. We eagerly assimilate new information. We form new opinions and personal philosophies. We'll read or study with the masters. We'll explore the depths of our psyches. We'll get guidance from all kinds of places, like from movies and theater productions and, you know, the animals and the birds flying in the sky. We'll interact with nature. And I have a sense that we'll be carrying this virtual sign. I mean, just think about it. We've got this sign, you know, that we're carrying, and it says, we'll travel for a great workshop, a healing opportunity, or a revelatory experience. Because Mercury in Sag says, I want to experience a world, you know. And remember, Sagittarius is highly aligned with healing. The wounded healer was Sagittarius. So, you know, I want to learn something new. I want to get exposure to something. I want to travel. And if I can't travel physically, then maybe I want to travel in my mind. I just want to do something. But here is something important that you need to know about Mercury in Sagittarius. It's an extended stay until January 8th, 2025. Now, I just told you it stays in a sign for about 20, 21 days. Well, not this time, and yeah, you know the reason. It's going to go into a retrograde pattern from November 25th through December 15th. Now, of course, we're going to talk about that more. But if you're interested, that's the next Mercury retrograde, and it's going to be in Sagittarius, which I personally love, because this is one, you know, this is a buoyant, happy, optimistic sign who says, I'm looking for the truth. I'm looking for new information. And so I think it's, I'm not going to say it's a happier retrograde, but it's just a retrograde where we're kind of trying to correct something that maybe went off the deep end before, or just got too muddled maybe with, you know, in a previous cycle. And so I think it's going to be a good one. But Mercury will be in Sagittarius until that first week of January. All right, so now we do have a few minutes left, and we are going to go to Mars in Leo. And this is going to happen late Sunday. Well, not late, but pretty late Sunday evening. It's going to be like 10 o'clock, 10:19 Pacific time. So that's why, you know, I feel pretty comfortable. We can leave some of it till next week and talk about it. But it's also going to be very interesting, because this sounds like a broken record, guys, but what happens before Mars actually moves into Leo? At the end of Cancer, what is it doing? It's making that perfect opposition with Pluto. So see, that's so important this week. This is an energy that is just, it just keeps coming back. So it's going to make that perfect opposition with Pluto before it moves into Leo. So once again, that energy is just taking us through the weekend. You know, that kind of that push-pull of Mars and Pluto. But here again, guess what? Mars too is going to go into a retrograde pattern. So Mars in Leo is not going to be just this straightforward transit. It's going to be broken up by a retrograde, which is going to happen December 6th through February 23rd. And this particular one is going to take Mars back into Cancer. So it's going to go through Leo for a while. It's going to retrograde on the 6th of December, go back, end up going back into Cancer, and then eventually we'll go direct again on, what did I say, the 23rd, I think, of February. And then we are going to have it go back through Leo again. So we're now talking about, you know, a time period that's most of the winter and now maybe a little bit of the spring in terms of Mars being in Leo. And by the way, and we'll talk about this a lot more next week too, Mars doesn't go retrograde every year. You know how all those outer planets, you know, Jupiter through Pluto, they all retrograde every single year. Mercury retrogrades several times a year. Mars and Venus do not retrograde every year. So I'll tell you what, I always pay attention to those. Now, we're not talking about Venus retrograde, we're talking Mars. So we will go into that in more detail next week or the week after that. But Mars is going to retrograde, and it happens about every 18 months to maybe 22 months is when Mars will retrograde. And this time it's going to cover Leo and it's going to cover Cancer. So once again, if we think about the Leo axis with Aquarius is what we're looking at. This is going to be very important because I hope Aquarius kind of trips a trigger in your brain, because who's going to be in Aquarius? Pluto. So you know what's going to happen? This is the first on Friday, or actually on Sunday, when this perfect opposition happens between Mars and Pluto, it's the first of three oppositions between these two planets, at least during this period. Now, of course, it'll happen again a few years from now, but it's going to happen on Sunday, November 3rd. Then they're going to oppose each other again on January 2nd and on April 26th. That's why I say this is taking us into the spring. This is a patterned opposition. This is a patterned energy that is going to just keep poking up, coming back, letting us look at it from different directions, and especially from different angles, because this first time Mars is in Cancer, Pluto's in Capricorn, but then it's going to be between Leo and Aquarius, which is going to be a different energy. And to me, that one is even stronger and steeped in that whole idea of individual versus shared interests. And we're going to talk about it, because that Leo is about me, me, me. It's about self-expression. I want to be on stage. I want to be the influencer. I want to be the leader. I want to be the one everybody's looking at. I need to, you know, to me, it's the epitome of really, when it's really, really good, it's that very self-actualized person. You know, and I'm carrying my backpack. Nobody has to do it. I'm carrying my backpack and I'm going to show you how to do it. But Aquarius is this energy of brotherhood completely. Nobody's better than anybody else. And let's face it, Leo is the king, the queen. There's hierarchies. There are some people that are better than others in Leo's mind, because there are hierarchies. There are some people meant to serve and there are people meant to be served. Aquarius says, we're all equal. We're on an even playing field. So those two energies are going to go back and forth and back and forth. And they're going to, you know, their flag bearers are going to be Mars and Pluto. And that's going to be working through, you know, it, like I said, it's really going to be working through what, maybe the next 6 months. So on one hand, I just want to say, get used to it. This is very important that we're feeling this week, and just, you know, and we can experiment and we can kind of play our way through it and feel how is this one going to be different because it's Cancer and Capricorn than the ones that are going to happen in 2025. How are they going to feel different? You know, and how are we going to handle them? But once again, recognize that there's going to be a tension. We're trying to figure this out. We're trying to figure out, how do I carry my backpack but help you with yours too? How do I sing my song, play my instrument, but be part of the orchestra? How can I do that? And when somebody else tells me what to do or how to do it, and I get, you know, I get all riled up. I don't want to be dominated. I don't want to be oppressed. I don't want somebody else telling me how to play my violin or that I need to play piano instead. You know, how do I deal with that? And what does it really mean? These are all things, in a sense, that are going on within us. So think about Mars in Leo as a refinement of personal ego. We're looking for our personal light, our talents, our desires and ambitions. It's about being inspired. It's one of the fire signs. And we're driven to be self-expressive and to find a way to shine our own lights. There again, maybe we do want to be part of the orchestra, but we want to have our solo act as well. So Mars in Leo is going to fire us up to figure out how to do that. And I feel like, you know, it doesn't automatically mean that we're going to be elevated to some leadership status or promoted to center stage, or we're going to, you know, get our names as top influencer or anything like that. But it does mean, Mars in Leo, that we're going to have many, many, many opportunities to learn how to appreciate and love ourselves, how to treasure ourselves. And as we do that, we treasure other people too. It's about building self-confidence and being a mentor, being a leader, being a demonstrator to other people. If I can do it, so can you. So that's what we've got with Mars and Leo. And like I said, we're going to go much, much into more detail next week. We'll probably start looking at that Mars retrograde as well, maybe not quite, but we're going to start getting into it. But I'll leave you with one quote. This is from Jodie Foster, who was born with Mars in Leo. And she said, "I want to be inspiring to myself, to my kids, my family, and my friends." And that's just a simplistic thing about I want to inspire. That is Mars in Leo talking. Okay? All right, well, we got to wrap this up. I want to say, and this is not a pun or tongue-in-cheek, I hope you enjoy the energy this week, and especially that new moon on Friday. You know, if anything, just set your intentions that you're going to be more self-aware. You're not going to be this person who has all these buttons that get pushed, because you're going to understand what's going on. And when your buttons get pushed, you're just going to smile and laugh. You're going to take it in stride. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks to the listeners and everybody in the chat room. Thanks to our producer, Jay Barbell. I hope that you will keep it tuned to Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. And find me on 12listen.com. And you can always ask for you can request a scheduled call on a day and time that's good for you, or just find me when I am online. Okay, thank you so much. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we think with Mars and Pluto.